Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. I'm Jeff Gamet. Today is Tuesday, May 2nd, 2017. And with me today, I have Jeff Butts. How are you, Jeff?
I'm fantastic. How are you?
I am great. I'm so glad you're here. And Dave Hamilton, how are you?
I am. I'm here. And I'm actually quite happy to be here.
And I'm happy you're here as well. I think today's going to be a fun discussion. Hey, we have a sponsor. Our sponsor is Away, and their carry-on, which is a carry-on suitcase, and it's pretty awesome. So we'll talk about that in a bit. But the reason I wanted to have both of you here today on the show is because you both have had some level of experience from different perspectives in the education system. Mm-hmm. And Microsoft today just started or just announced all of these new products that in many cases look like they're directly targeting the education market. Like there's the new Windows 10S, which focuses on students' needs. They have new Surface notebooks. And so I'm looking at all of this stuff, and I'm thinking, okay, well, there's some pretty interesting things happening here. And since they're targeting the education market, I'm curious, what do you guys think about this?
Well, you want Jeff? You've been in education,
yeah.
You want to take this and run with it? I mean, what are your thoughts on it? That's sort of hence my pause.
Sure.
Yeah.
You know, I taught university at the university level for about 7 years, and you know, I rarely saw a Surface, even though they were relatively new. I didn't see them. I think with this new Surface laptop, you're going to start seeing them more. In part because Apple has really slowed down at what it's doing for the education market. And in part because, quite frankly, you know, it looks like a solid product, the new Surface laptop that they announced, as does Windows 10S. The only problem I have with Windows 10S, and I think some students are going to have, is if they're running Windows, they want to be able to run Windows. They don't want to be sandboxed the way Windows 10S is going to sandbox them.
Right, but that if we look at it compared to a full-fledged Windows laptop, yes. If we look at it compared to a Chromebook, though, like that, it's less sandboxed than Windows, than what you get on a Chromebook. Windows 10S actually gives you a whole lot more. So, right. I mean, right. So it's context, and if a school is on Chromebooks, many schools, it's easy for us all to get tunnel vision on this, especially when, you know, I've got kids that are in high school now. They use Google Classroom for a lot of things. All of their stuff is stored in Google Docs, so which is really handy because it's totally portable. I mean, it's, you know, all the benefits that we know of that come with the cloud are there, plus the whole classroom thing where you can submit, you can, you know, do your work in Google Docs, for those of you that don't know, and then when you submit it, it can be frozen in time so that you can't go edit it after, say, a deadline. Then the teacher can work with edits on you. It's fantastic. It's all as soon as you stop to think about, hey, what would it be like if we did this with a classroom environment? That's what Google Docs becomes when you add it under the umbrella of Google Classroom.
Sure.
So I think Microsoft obviously knows this and knows, okay, we're not going to necessarily drag everyone away from Google Classroom on day one when they get these, you know, Surface laptops. So let's join them. That's fine. Use that stuff. And hey, by the way, once you get enough of our things, let's talk again, because I bet we've got something better for you. Mm.
Now, the pricing on these student-focused laptops that Microsoft is making, the Surface laptops, is in line with what Google is charging, or excuse me, what Chromebooks cost. Is that right? Or generally?
No, not yet. Now they've talked about having devices that start as low as, I believe, $199.
That's what I was thinking of. Okay.
Yeah. But that is in line.
Yeah, that is in line with the Chromebook. The laptops that they announced today and that were leaked last night start at $999.
Oh, okay. So they're competing at a price point right now with Apple's entry level laptops.
Right.
With the MacBooks. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
I mean, I only clarify that, Jeff, because I don't know what entry level means anymore with the MacBook Air sort of sitting there with this asterisk by it. Right. So, but yeah, it seems to me like it's built to compete with the MacBook.
Okay. So we have Microsoft. Let me start that sentence over again. My perception is that what Microsoft is doing right now is kind of what Apple does with products. And they start at what the high end of whatever that product range would be. And then they work their way down to lower price point products in that same range.
Right.
And it looks to me that's what Microsoft is doing right now with their new Surface products, Windows S, in the education space. So in that sense, they're going head to head with Apple with newer hardware, and then they will work their way down to where they're going head to head with Chromebooks.
And that seems to be the plan. Yeah.
Yeah.
This actually seems like a pretty smart strategy to me.
Oh, absolutely.
And am I wrong in my assumption that if you start kids with one platform, whether it's Mac OS or Windows or Linux, it doesn't matter what it is, you start kids with one platform, that's a platform that they tend to become most comfortable with and tend to stick with longer term?
Of course.
I think it depends on how good the platform is.
Okay.
Yeah, I would actually argue with that, because we had years and years of people running Windows, choosing to run Windows when it was much worse than it is now.
Well, yeah, that's true.
In comparison to the Mac, I mean, I would see people, say, well, this is what I'm used to. So I get the this is what I'm used to thing, right? That's that when I was doing a lot of consulting. I've always been an Apple guy. I started with Apple II, then, begrudgingly sort of migrated to the Mac. That was a real big change. It was this closed system, right? But anyway, always been an Apple guy. And when I was doing consulting, I knew more about the Mac than anybody else at the business. And I was also really good at Windows. But if somebody said to me, what computer should I buy? The answer was not just, well, a Mac, because I think that's better. It was, right. I never answered that question without asking questions, unless I really knew the customer and then I already had the information I needed. But it was, well, tell me what you currently do and why you need to change. And it was, well, my computer's slow. Okay. Do your needs change? Is there any reason that you would want to go through the pain? And then sometimes they would ask me, they'd be like, you're a Mac guy. Should I get a Mac? It's like, well, I don't know. It's not a simple answer. So I grok the whole go with what you know scenario. Yeah. And I think that does apply here. And I think Apple's much earlier efforts in the education market, combined with the, what we call the halo effect of both the iPod and now, of course, the iPhone, gave Apple a huge leg up in the rest of the market with Macs and desktops and laptops, well, PCs. So
riddle me this. When you were consulting back in the day, did budget ever play a strong role in whether someone changed from one platform to another?
Don't answer that, Dave, because I'm going to make people wait.
Like, boy, I was ready to go too, but I will wait.
Okay. The reason I want you to wait is because I'm kind of champing at the bit to tell people about our sponsor, and our sponsor is Away and their carry-on bag. And what they've done is they've created this suitcase that's really impressed me. And that's saying a lot, because I'm a bag junkie. And I would say I'm also a bag connoisseur. Like, I'm the guy that when I pick out a new fabric bag, a backpack, or you know, a shoulder bag, whatever, I open it up and put my head inside, and I look at the stitching and how the fabric is folded together for that stitching. I mean, that's...
Wow.
Yeah. So, anyhow...
That's intense.
Yeah, I'm pretty intense about my bags.
Yeah, I guess so.
Yeah, and so I'm always looking for the flaws in the bags, and when I find a bag that doesn't have those flaws, I get really excited. And that's what happened to me when I got the carry-on. And I was already using a carry-on bag that I really, really liked and had been using for years. And when my carry-on showed up in its shipping box and I picked it up.
You mean when your away carry-on showed up?
When my away carry-on, thank you. When my away carry-on showed up, I was taken aback because I picked up the box. And in the box with the carry-on inside weighs less than my previous bag.
Wow.
Yeah. And, you know, that's a big thing.
That is a big thing because doesn't it have a battery built into it?
Yes, it does. It's like you're reading my mind.
I know.
Yeah, and it's a hard shell bag, too. I mean, it's a hard shell suitcase. I keep calling it a bag, but it's just
so,
you know,
light. Yeah,
yeah,
so
exactly.
It's a hard shell suitcase with four wheels as opposed to two, which is a bigger deal than people realize. But that battery is pretty awesome because there's a battery built into the bag, and underneath the lift-up handle, there's a panel that pops up. And you have two USB ports, so like a lower power and a higher power port. Mm-hmm. And if you're just charging, say, like an iPhone, you can get 5 charges for your iPhone off the battery that's built into the bag. So, you know, if your flight's stuck somewhere, you're not leaving the city or the airport for an extended period of time, just like everyone else, and you can't get to an outlet to recharge your iPhone, just plug it into your bag. It's a brilliant idea, and it's done in a very elegant way. And it's just one of those little features that makes me so glad that my bag that I use when I'm traveling and can do carry-ons onto a plane is now the away carry-on. And I went with the blue. You have one of these, Dave. What color is yours?
I went with, it's a reddish color. I think it's brick is what they call it. And I really like it. It's sort of a subtle red and easily stands out, but isn't too crazy. And you're right. The four wheels, fantastic. The lightweight, the compartments inside. I'm really eager. So they have, I believe, 4 sizes of suitcase. They have the carry-on, the bigger carry-on, which is what I have. They both will fit in the overheads of standard U.S. planes. Mm-hmm.
And then there's the medium and the large.
And the large, yeah. And I'm curious to check out what a medium and large are like to travel with.
You know, I'm kind of curious now, too, because I'm so happy with this. Hey, everyone, I want you to have the chance to check one of these out and get a nice little discount. So what you need to do is head over to the Away website, and that's awaytravel.com/TDO. And when you get there, check out the different bags, see which one you like. And I'm really pleased with the carry-on. And then pick out the bag you want to buy and use the promo code TDO. So that code gets you a $20 discount off of your bag. And you're not paying shipping either. So head over to the Away Travel website, awaytravel.com/TDO, and use that code TDO to get $20 off your suitcase. And thank you, Away, for being our sponsor. Okay, Dave, do you remember your answer to the question that Dave posed, or that John, or wow, that everyone start wearing name tags. Jeff, the question you posed to Dave.
Yeah, I think it had to do with budget, didn't it?
Yeah.
Yes, it did.
Yeah.
I do remember the question. Of course, budget was always a factor, mm-hmm. but it was never the factor.
No.
It was, you know, capabilities happiness, you know, is this going to fit into the rest of my life? And I mean, you know, it depends on when we're talking about here. If it was back in the mid 90s, there wasn't a whole lot of "and my other devices" compatibility. People generally had the one device and it was a computer. Right. But you know, that started to become a thing. And it was, if somebody wanted to switch from, say, PC to Mac, it was, well, is my printer going to be compatible? Is my this? And that was a real concern back then, as all of this stuff was not quite as universal as it is now.
Yeah.
So, yes, budget was there, but it was never, it almost never discussed. It was just, yeah, okay, well, what's this going to cost me? Is it going to be double? And sometimes the answer was, well, actually, yeah. You'll see me a lot less, you know, so
right.
Double, you know, when I was charging whatever, $100 an hour, $125 an hour, double the price for a computer was not, especially if they had gotten to know me really well based on me needing to go out and fix their Windows machines. That was a real factor for some people. Yeah. So in that sense, yeah, it was.
Well, yeah. You know, maybe I'm off base here, but I think that if Microsoft really does introduce solid competitors with Google Chromebooks at a similar price point, I think that we might see people switch over from Google Chrome to Windows 10S a lot more readily, simply because the option is there. Even though they're comfortable with Google Chromebooks and with that platform, A lot of students aren't happy with it.
Right.
It's true. Yeah. And if Microsoft does that and they fulfill this promise of, okay, now we've got stuff that essentially competes with the MacBook, right? We've got stuff that competes with the Chromebook. And then we've got things, of course, at the higher end too. And some of them are pretty cool, the way the Surface table works and all that stuff. So, do that, they now have something that no one else has. Because even Apple, even if, and this creates an opportunity for Apple, right? But if you combine the iPads with the laptops, even still, there's not something at that $200 range. And I'm not convinced that is the right place for Apple to be either. But it's certainly, if people are trying to decide Chromebook, whatever. Okay, well, now I can enter this Microsoft ecosystem, and I know that someone else, i.e. Microsoft, is thinking about making sure all of this stuff continues to work together, as opposed to a Chromebook for this, you know, a MacBook for that, and a Surface for this. Yeah. It starts to that you know, you have to, now the IT task is on you as the user to make sure everything ties together.
Absolutely.
I think, you know, in terms of what does this mean for us as Apple users, will this kind of, you know, how will Apple participate going forward here? Will they put out a laptop that's, you know, $500? Well, in a sense, they kind of already have that.
Right. They just need to update it.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And, you know, as a teaser for what I'm going to be ranting maybe about this afternoon, is it's a wake up call.
Right.
And Apple needs to wake up.
So what I'm picking up from both of you is that this is a market where Apple needs to come up with a competitive strategy.
Absolutely.
Because it's not their market exclusively. I mean,
right.
Google, through the Chromebook, has a slice of this market. Microsoft has a slice of this market. And it looks to me, as an outsider to the educational market, that Microsoft and Google are taking more and more of that market from Apple. So now it's their turn to do something and wow us with their education-focused products.
Yeah, they need to do that, and they need to let us know about them. You know, when I was teaching, Apple came every year to the university. And they ran a seminar educating people about the first one that I remember going to. They educated those of us who were faculty members about iBooks, as it was just coming out, and the iPad and all of that. And I don't hear about these Apple education events anymore.
Interesting.
Huh.
Huh. All right. So we're out of time, but I'm just going to toss this out there to get the knee-jerk reaction from both of you. What if Apple were to take the iPad, so an iOS-based device, and make something that would be like a modern version of the eMate? So you have the iOS interface, but the keyboard is a permanent part of the device.
I'd buy it.
Huh. Yeah, okay.
I don't know about... I'd get it for my kids.
How different is that from an iPad Pro with the keyboard?
The difference would be that this is an all-in-one bundled product, as opposed to here's your tablet and here's the accessory keyboard that you put with it.
That you have to figure out how to carry around altogether.
Mm. Oh, I see. So okay, so the attachment part of this is the key. Boy, I don't know if I would. I mean, that's a weird thing. I don't think that's a good idea for Apple.
Because
the iPad works so well on its own. Detachment is, I think, an okay thing. In fact, I think it's a good thing.
All right. So that's one thumbs up and one thumbs down. And I think that I just realize that I'm really missing the eMate, and I should probably go on Craigslist and see who's selling one just so I can have one sitting around.
There you go.
Hey, we are out of time. So, Jeff, thank you for being here today.
Thanks for having me.
And Dave, thank you for being here as well.
My distinct pleasure. Thanks for having me.
And thanks to Away and their carry-on bag for being our sponsor today. I really love my carry-on, and I'm impressed with it. So I'd love for all of you to go check it out. Head over to their website, awaytravel.com/TDO. Use the discount code TDO to get $20 off of your suitcase. And listeners, thank you for being here. We will see everyone again tomorrow.